Oh man, this one has caused a storm. You need an at bat for your life. Who do you go with? Who do you want at the plate, Pearl, if it's an at bat for your life?
Well, okay. So EJ, and correctly so, put up a poll on X. If you need one hit for your life, who are you going for? And Manny's choice, Ichiro, is running away with it, and everyone's calling in with these singles hitters. I thought it was implied that you might want, like, EJ's choice, Big Poppy, in a big playoff moment. You want a guy who can hit a home run. I thought that was implied. I guess we were wrong, Maggie.
Okay, so it's Wednesday. If you're new to the show, we do something called The Great Debate, and that is back today after our Mount Olympus project is over. But it's inspired by last night's All-Star game, which ended in an epic way. We've never seen it. Because they just changed the rules to create this gimmick, which is that the game was tied at the end of the game. So they did a mini home run derby. It was three guys from the AL, three guys from the NL, three swings each. And the NL didn't even have to get through all three of their guys. Kyle Schwarber went 3-for-3 as the second batter. And the National League won 4-3 in this home run derby swing off. So it got us thinking, all right, you need one at bat for your life. Who do you want at the plate? Just go around the horn quickly, Pro.
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds. I went with Mr. October, Reggie Jackson. EJ.
Big Poppy, David Ortiz.
Ichiro Suzuki.
And CeeLo is in today for Bogus.
She
went
laughing?
With the great Bambino, with Babe Ruth. And it's funny how we all interpreted this differently. I guess I was thinking, for my life, stakes are really high. Implied, yes?
I like stakes, yes.
Yes. So I need somebody who is synonymous with clutch hitting in the postseason. Yeah. And that, to me, is none other than Reggie Jackson, which is funny that nobody picked Derek Jeter, Mr. November, who also is known for being very clutch in the postseason.
It wasn't necessarily clutch. I mean, the famous game where Reggie hit three home runs, those were early on. I'm not thinking like Reggie didn't even need the ninth inning to make his case for Mr. October.
Also hit a game seven home run in the World Series in game seven in 1973. I mean, Reggie, two-time World Series MVP.
Mr. October, Reggie Jackson.
Yeah. The thing is,
Bad Bunny made a song about
it. But he can't slap a little grounder to the third baseman and run it out like Ichiro. And that for a hit for your life, Ichiro's definitely winning because he's got infield hits in play. That's not what I thought we were doing.
Well, we also, the moment that we said this, the call screener immediately lit up with people screaming at us about Tony Gwynn. So, yes, we understand everyone's interpreting this very, very differently, but Tony Gwynn has some stats that are just, it's like you can't even believe them. But let's go back to the phones at 888-710-4ISN. You can also hit us on social media at X at Maggie and Pearl, Twitter Maggie and Perloff, Instagram Maggie and Perloff. And if you want to email us, you can do it. It's maggieandperloff@gmail.com. Kevin's in San Antonio. What's up, Kev?
Hey, not much, man. I just finished a big breakfast. And, you know, I'm a throw old school with you. It's Hank Aaron.
Yeah.
I went to a game when I was about 7 years old. My parents took me to the Astrodome, and the Astros was playing the Braves with Hank Aaron. And then all of a sudden, he hit a home run, got on the bat, got a home plate, hit a home run. I had my popcorn and my glove and my drink, and he hit a home run on the upper deck of the Astrodome, and I started to cry because I didn't get his home run. I didn't get his ball. I wanted to get his autograph, and so I cried all the way up to home.
Kevin, thank you. And, you know, Hank Aaron, not a bad choice here, Pearl. If you just want Hank Aaron's career on base percentage, we're talking about just get on base for your life, 374. No, not bad there.
That's okay.
Well, okay.
That means he swung the ball. He swung at everything, which is great.
He also played for 25 years. But, Kevin, thank you for that. Kevin does take advantage of maggieandperloff@gmail.com because Kevin sends
just
us a picture.
A big breakfast.
Yeah, he sends us a picture of his breakfast every morning. And now Kevin has gotten into baking. So we're getting some photos of that. And we got to help him with the pizza.
What kind of baked goods, though?
It was a lemon cake.
Oh, yes, that's right. He did mention that.
Yeah, it looked really good.
How about Swing for Your Life? I got one. Clutch situation. How about Kirk Gibson?
Kirk Gibson has one of the most clutch memories that we have that exists. What about Joe Carter? I mean, if you just want to go for that one moment, you could do something like that. Bill Mazeroski.
I mean, I think people have to think about World Series. You have to be thinking about the pressure. It's not an exercise where you need a single in the middle of the season. That's what people are taking this as. You need a big hit. It's bases loaded. Ninth inning. Let's go.
David in San Diego. David, who do you have?
Yeah, well, my life's on the line and I just need a base hit, best pure hitter, Tony Gwynn, and just something real quick to back it up.
Yeah.
Atlanta Braves big three, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavin, Smoltz. 287 plate appearances. He hit .381 against those three with three strikeouts. If I just need a base hit, Game 7 World Series, Tony Gwynn. Thank you.
David, thank you. And a lot of people called in about Tony Gwynn. And just to expand that, over the 18 Hall of Fame pitchers that Tony Gwynn faced in his career, he slashed .331, .371, .426.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's great. So he was good not just against the big three in the Braves.
Old school stats. Boo.
Okay.
Perloff wants launch angles.
No,
You want BABIP?
Listen. Yeah, Tony Gwynn was a great singles hitter. So was Rod Carew. So was P. Rose. So were a million guys. You're taking them over Barry Bonds in this situation?
So, again, this is the at-bat for your life. Mike's in Syracuse. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Maggie.
Yes.
What do you want to wear for your funeral after this is over?
Oh.
Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
What is he the career leader in?
What?
Strikeouts. You guys are approaching this the wrong way. You're looking at what could possibly happen rather than what happened more than not. You know, he struck out over 2,000 times in his career. That's a huge number.
I know, but
you just need.
But here's the thing. I'm looking at the playoffs. Like that, I guess maybe, pardon me, I was looking at the playoffs where Reggie Jackson has 48 RBIs and has 70 strikeouts. It's not so insane there. Yeah, you want to take his whole career and 162 games by 22 years or whatever Reggie played.
Wait, say that number again.
He had 70 strikeouts in the postseason.
That's a lot, right?
In how many games did he play here? I'll find the number of games. Hold on one sec.
Well, I mean to have...
Hold on.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that sounds like, actually, I'm not sure that number says what you wanted to say.
No, I'm just saying I'm only looking at his postseason numbers. I'm not looking at the entire overview of a guy's career. I was just looking at the postseason.
My suggestion is that there is a player who only struck out once every 73 at-bats. He's had seasons of single-digit strikeouts. Now, he played a while back, and it is Joe Sewell, second baseman and shortstop for the Cleveland Indians and the New York Yankees, end of the 20s, early 30s.
Okay, so
he once went 117 consecutive games without a strikeout. That's the dude who's batting for my life. I'm not ready to go yet.
Okay,
there's
but,
still things I haven't Mike, accomplished.
Okay, but if you want to split hairs here, if we're doing this debate, and what'd you say? What year was it? 1930?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're doing the debate in 1930, okay. But if we're doing this debate in 1925, then Joe Sewell is going to get struck out on three pitches.
Well, he played in 1925. You meant 2025.
I'm sorry. 1925, if we're doing this in 2025, he's striking out on three pitches.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you for that.
But he grew up learning how to hit that in this scenario.
Right, but this is why I didn't go back to even Babe Ruth or go back to Lou Gehrig. I didn't do an old-time guy because we're doing this exercise in 2025. Sorry, did I say 1925?
Yeah, you did.
My bad.
By the way, Ted Williams wouldn't be a bad answer, too.
That's why I didn't pick him.
I
wasn't picking anybody pre-2000 because I'm looking at the pitchers now. I'm thinking this is a bat. I don't think this at bat for my life is happening in 1943. So I'm thinking, all right, this at bat's happening right now.
Yeah,
I want in their prime. I don't want somebody that was facing pitchers throwing 75. I want somebody who's faced Mariano Rivera. you know, and Roger Clemens. Yeah, so that's right. Why I picked Poppy.
Yeah, but I feel like Ted Williams, like those guys, like it's like basketball too. They would have trained differently. Ted Williams probably would have been great.
Yeah, I mean, Ted Williams is one of the all-time greats. But again, I'm thinking about the parameters of the question, which is hit for your life. I got to take guys for what they were, not right. What they could have been.
But also, too, like both sides are used PEDs. I mean, they were in the 2000, so back then they didn't have those. So that's also a major difference. Like the pitchers didn't throw 103 because they weren't taking anything. Also, I know they're not caught now, but let's be honest.
But yeah, but still, like physical fitness and all those things are much better now than they were in 1925.
Yeah, baseball in particular. I mean, life
expectancy alone is like way different.
Well, 1925, sure. But I think Ted Williams would have been a fine answer. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, but to be honest, like, so yes, obviously Ted Williams is known as the greatest hitter of all time or one of the greatest hitters. But you're talking about you wanted game 7, bottom of the 9th. Well, Ted Williams has no track record in the postseason, not for a World Series, nothing like that. So we were only thinking of postseason. That's what I was thinking of, postseason, guys who have come through in the postseason. So I didn't think about Ted Williams.
You can let go of the Reggie Jackson. You're not winning the poll.
I guess I'm going to lose it, Ryan. And I guess 70 strikeouts is quite
a bit.
But he played a lot of postseason games. Ryan, go ahead. What do you got for us?
I got two quick things. One, on your spice, you guys missed one of the best ones in recent history, which is the Ramirez-Anderson battle at second base.
How did we forget about that? Okay.
And the second is on your debate, it was just too general early on, but then, like, I mean, listen, I grew up and I am a diehard Pirates fan, so I'll never say anything good about Barry Bonds. But, Perloff, you can't say that because he had one good year in the playoffs when you're going to now discredit all these other people who didn't have playoff opportunities.
Right, but
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I'm saying, I thought he was pointing about, because everyone pointed out he had a lot of bad years in the playoffs before that one good year. But though I'm taking full-size Barry Bonds. I want to point that out, just to be clear, Ryan.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So, like, I mean, the Tony Gwynns of the world, those guys are great and all, but because they're teams, you're talking a team sport, but then you're trying to take an individual aspect to it. So some of these guys are never going to get to Game 7 of the World Series. But ultimately, they are the one you want to have at the plate in a Game 7 if they had that opportunity, because they are the ones who time and time again have put the ball in play.
Well, thank you, Ryan. Yeah. I got a tweet from Smitty who says they'd walk Bonds. I don't know if I'd feel comfortable about that in a hit for life situation. If we're talking about just a hit, I'd have to go Ichiro because he can slap something to the left side. So, I mean, what are we doing here? You can't walk it. If you walk, isn't that good? You got on base.
Walk is as good as a hit.
So a walk in this case is not as good. And people are creating this for your life scenario a little too seriously here. Like, we're not saying, like,
what are you talking about? It's dead serious.
There's a guy with a gun who's going to shoot you if Tony Gwynn doesn't get over the shortstop's head.
Mike in Syracuse just said, "What am I wearing to my funeral?"
Better than what he's wearing now.
Hey. This outfit is fine to be buried in.
I mean, no, yeah, you're fine. You look great right now, but it would have been a little bit more creepy if he said, you know, what are you wearing right now?
Oh, well, we're on a live stream, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Is that what you mean, Pearl? This has been taken a little too far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're like, well, if it's a hit for my life, I'm going to have to go with a high average hitter. That's not the point. Like, you can't walk the guy. You're going to intentionally walk Barry Bonds. So, of course, he's not going to get a hit.
Also, Barry Bonds is fully capable of getting a hit. That's what I don't understand. It's like, oh, he's going to walk. It's like, well, yeah, he walks because he hits so well.
But Gwynn is a better singles hitter. I mean, like, Gwynn hit 338. Barry Bonds hit 298. So,
I mean, yeah, but Bonds in those steroid years was hitting like 340. Like, it was crazy.
That's
true. Trying to hit home runs.
All-time on-base percentage leader, 609. So, what if we said, if you need a guy to get on base for your life, that's what we should have said. A little specific.
No, come on.
That's weak.
Who leads baseball and walks?
If you need a guy to have a high OPS for your life,
I say the two outs, runners in scoring
Mike
position
Trout.
For your life. Mm. Who do you want? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This has created some other mini debates that have now been going on on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, for your life.
The for your life series, maybe starting soon.
And we're not calling gun to your head.
That's a little too.
A salmon. You look like a salmon, Maggie. That's what you look like today.
I look like a salmon.
Yeah,
Tim salmon.
Salmon, hit not for your salmon. Life?
The fish,
not
bro.
Salmon,
the
Jada.
Fish.
Not
Jada, the fish, not, homie.
Okay, Jadakiss.
Protein-laden fish.
Salmon. Come on. Get sophisticated.
It's got a lot of omega-3s. I mean, I don't think what you said is a compliment, but I could take it that way.
Salmon's a nice color.
888-710-4ISN. And we all, guys, we do a morning show. We can't be nitpicking on people's outfits when we get dressed in the dark.
Mm. You know, in 1995, Tim Salmon hit 331.
still so maybe than Reggie.
How many clutch hits?
Do you remember? You guys don't remember this all. He came up and he was a phenom.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then it didn't really happen.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. All right. Keep them coming. At bat for your life. We haven't checked in with our favorite quarterback in a while.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
It's Kaiser Sose.
We'll do that next.
Full-size Barry Bonds. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Great debate. Hit for your life, who you going with. Controversial, as always, at the Maggie and Perloff show. But we had some fun yesterday. We have a text thread after every show where we send each other stories. This one I tripped upon, and I don't even know how much truth there is to it, but it certainly caught my eye. Aaron Rodgers.
Wait. We got to hit the music.
Oh, right. The stupid music. Go ahead.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Okay, now you may proceed.
But Aaron Rodgers didn't do anything in this, but that's besides part. Anyway, yeah. So people are buying Aaron Rodgers t-shirts at a record rate in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, right? Everyone's excited. Apparently not. They are buying them, according to a woman in Pittsburgh. They are buying them so they can burn them after he completely torches the Steelers season. This I read on Pro Football Talk. I'm not sure that she has actual analytics to back this up.
Yeah.
But would that be something that you would do? Would buy a t-shirt to burn it? Famously burning LeBron jerseys. That's the first time I ever saw this happen.
Yeah, I think that was the first time I ever saw it, too. But it's a woman who, Danielle Dudas, who helped sell Rodgers t-shirts at Strip District Tees, which is a Pittsburgh sports merchandise store in the Strip District. She says customers go out of their way to say how much they dislike the quarterback. And then there are those who say that they need a Rodgers t-shirt. So she says, some people are like, I want a shirt just so I can burn it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could have just been one person, and then she told that story to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Right. So I don't know if they're doing it en masse, but make no mistake, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers will probably take this as another sign that all of the world's out to get him, I think, or
I'm not
the
sure
haters
this,
or something. I don't know.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
I'm not sure this hit Aaron Rodgers' timeline exactly. I don't know.
Everything does. He's extremely online.
Yeah, for political stuff. I don't know if he follows this stuff, but yeah, fair. And I don't know what to make of this. I do feel like, I definitely know around the country there are a lot of people who have issues with Aaron Rodgers. I assume Pittsburgh embraced him and was optimistic and hoping that he's the guy that can get them over the top. I didn't think there was a lot of hatred in Pittsburgh for Aaron Rodgers.
Because
he hasn't done anything negative there yet. So yeah. Why would they hate him other than
you don't know me.
Global
and he said,
top.
You don't know me. And then I said, exactly.
I think that there's a apprehension, maybe. I don't know about the hatred yet, but maybe because he took so long to sign there, but he was pretty open about that. He said something was going on in his personal life. So
yeah, but he's there now. I don't know. I will find out more when they get to training camp. I would think if you're in Pittsburgh, you're pretty excited because, again, what do you have to lose? Your last two quarterbacks have been Kenny Pickett, Russell Wilson, and Justin Fields. Like, I don't see the downside. I keep saying this. The downside, if it doesn't work, it's a year. You move on. Like, what? Why would you burn an Aaron Rodgers jersey?
So that's another distinction, just funny detail from the story. People are only buying the t-shirt, not the jersey, because it's a cheaper investment if you feel like you want to burn it.
Serendipitous.
Yeah. You don't want to burn a jersey. That's expensive,
like
especially for a guy.
$130, $140?
Going to be there for a season?
There's no way you burn a jersey.
No.
But the funny thing is, I'll bet you Rodgers will be one of the top 10 selling jerseys for sure.
Definitely.
Because anybody who goes to a new team, it automatically bumps up. Because if you're in Pittsburgh, you got to get your Rodgers jersey. I mean, if he's good, they will love this guy like no one else.
But that's any fan base. No,
yeah,
if you're good, they're
going
to love you. But the thing about Pittsburgh, and I guess maybe you could say this for every team, but you have so many jerseys to choose from. Let's say Rodgers wins you 9 games, 10 games. Is that enough to buy a jersey over buying a Troy Polamalu jersey? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I think that they have multiple jerseys. So
Jerome Bettis?
Yeah, if Rodgers wins 9 games, I mean, you'll definitely buy a jersey. You got that the starting quarterback's jersey,
don't
you?
Know. I wonder how popular the Ben Roethlisberger jerseys were for other reasons, because Ben was not great off the field.
I think that's a national storyline. I don't know if that's always true in Pittsburgh.
Maybe
like,
not.
I don't think football fans don't care about that stuff. Sounds they like, care about winning.
Sounds like Pittsburgh isn't down with Aaron Rodgers.
What?
Yeah, I think Rodgers, if he does well, I don't think the implosion that happened with the Jets, for example, I don't think it's possible in Pittsburgh. And maybe I'm totally naive here because it's an older team. They don't have these great expectations. Like Aaron Rodgers came to New York and said, I'm going to win a Lombardi trophy for this building.
Yeah.
There's a totally different energy in Pittsburgh. He's like, well, I may or may not sign. All right, you guys need a quarterback. I'll come here. It's better than Mason Rudolph. What's the downside here? What can he do to them? Can he kill the franchise?
I mean, listen, Rodgers can annoy people no matter what if you want to look at it through that lens, for sure. And if it starts getting things like messing with the offense in a way that messes
what offense? Their offense stinks.
I know, but like he started to tick off the receivers in
the
New York.
The receivers stink. Wait, in
Garrett
Pittsburgh.
Wilson does not stink. Garrett Wilson just had $130 million contract.
No, in Pittsburgh.
Stink.
In Pittsburgh, I'm saying. Like, yeah.
Well, DK Metcalf doesn't stink. I mean, right.
But
I just think that, Rodgers, sure, things could go badly. Is it going to get to the level where people are burning the T-shirt? I don't think he's there. He hasn't been there long enough.
Right.
He doesn't have enough equity to make people that upset.
I want to let you know the people of Pittsburgh will respect the fact you're driving around in a boo, brother.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand why the animosity is already there. He hasn't done anything there. Also, I do think, you know, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, he's kind of a weirdo, right?
Sure.
But he's kind of a small town guy, right? If you read the book by Ian O'Connor, he was comfortable in Green Bay because he came from a smaller area. He feels like culturally he'll fit in fine in Pittsburgh. I've heard that.
Yeah, maybe New York was actually the bad fit.
Well, I mean, are the Jets really a New York team, though? It's kind of Jersey.
Yeah,
well,
when he got
he was
here,
Mr. Manhattan.
He was going to every
But he was
event.
Fine with that, right? Like
he seemed to embrace it a little bit.
But it feels like he's particularly suited for Pittsburgh. He's on the Pat McAfee show, like Mr. Pittsburgh. He's kind of a guy's guy. I feel like he'll be fine in Pittsburgh.
I agree with Perloff. I mean, as someone who had Aaron Rodgers on his team and he left kind of unspectacularly in a bad way, I don't think Jets fans were like, oh, we need to burn his jersey. I think we wanted him gone. I think a lot of them wanted him gone. But it never got the animosity, even if you thought he was horrendous like I did. It never was to the point where I was like, I want to get a jersey so I can burn it. It was just like, get lost. I don't want to think about this again.
Well, also, I mean, I think jersey burning has jumped the shark a little bit. I remember when Gordon Hayward left Utah and someone burned his jersey. I was like, wait, really?
Are you sure that wasn't a gender reveal accident with Gordon Hayward?
Could have been.
That feels like a bit too far. I was surprised that Jets fans, and I will second that, they did not want Aaron Rodgers back. And I kind of thought they would want Aaron Rodgers back because what was the other option? But that's true. They really were not sad that he moved on.
No. EJ would have driven him to the airport. You didn't want him anywhere near. And the counting stats were not bad the second season. It's at, considering the history of Jets quarterbacks, it was actually kind of on the higher side.
Watch the games. The games, he did not play well.
But we have our friend, foot expert, Dr. Rock Positano, came on a dozen times and says Aaron Rodgers could be much better his second year back from Achilles, because that's how that injury works. So there is the fear that you weren't seeing the real Rodgers. You could see he was limping half the season. I mean, the guy was hurt.
Honestly, I saw Kevin Durant was recently, when we know that he was on the Mind the Game podcast, but of all the other headlines he made, this was not a headline, but he was talking about how the recovery for Achilles injuries, because he's talking about these guys, Tatum and Halliburton, how they got hurt. And, you know, he said once you get from away from the shock of not doing anything for a year and then the year of trying to get your leg back, after that, you'll be a lot better. But then he says that he still rehabs his Achilles today.
Mm.
He says that there are still things he has to do. He says his calf muscle now still is not as strong as the other one because of that injury. So he says it's something that he still deals with, but he has to manage things that he knows he could have done maybe before the injury. He doesn't try to do now on the court. So Rodgers, it may be him learning to play a different style than he has.
Well, you just have so, it's a mental thing. You have so much more confidence, it sounds like. And Rodgers, he did not have confidence in that leg until the end of the season.
By the way, I hurt him because he hurt that knee too. And that knee on that same leg, you know, that's not going to help you either.
Well, I still work on my knee every day because of my grade 2 MCL sprain from the ski accident in Shawnee Mountain.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you really wiped out.
You blamed your wife for that too, right?
Yeah. I blame my wife because I'm a bad skier and she accidentally sent me on a black diamond. And then she didn't wait for me. She's like, and my daughter said, should we wait for dad to make sure he's okay? And she said, no, we'll meet him back at the lodge. And then I fell 60 feet. And since it was a Philly mountain, I basically opened my eyes and thank God for 3 13-year-olds wearing AJ Brown jerseys.
Helped you to safety.
Yeah, helped me to safety. They're like, sir, are you okay? I've never gotten more sir in my life. And this stupid knee still hurts and it's 2 years later. So me and KD, same. My wife had 7 injuries. She got kicked by a horse. Oh, by the way, yeah, that was from our Costa Rica trip. Yeah, that horse kick is still bothering her.
Yeah, you know, you tell these stories. And yeah, like, no, it's not, is... it doesn't, you have a vacation coming up. Like,
oh my God,
you might
want
to take care.
Yeah, no, people are misunderstanding what's dangerous in the world. Like, upper middle class white people vacations are seriously dangerous.
We're crying for you, bro. I was going to say, for every 3 AJ Brown jerseys that were trying to help you, was there some punk kid in a Bryce Harper jersey skiing over your face?
Go Bird!
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, Navy SEALs, you think they got it tough? Do they have to visit Costa Rica and ride a horse?
With family?
Yeah, with your 84-year-old in-laws?
Yeah, in-laws.
And hike, and they're out hiking you? Anyway,
honestly,
sorry.
T's and P's for you.
This is pathetic, right? You're judging me so bad right now.
No, it's fascinating.
He's getting
actually
flashbacks to his own family vacation, I'm sure.
Have you ever seen a bear run after a truck?
Steela, you like vacationing with your in-laws? Sorry.
I've taken many vacations with my in-laws. We get along swimmingly. They've taken us on some really nice ones. They're actually responsible for my only European trip ever. Went to Ireland, God, 15 years ago now.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Before we were married, actually.
See, you got to sneak in on the family vacation pre-marriage.
Sure did.
And overseas.
Yeah.
You can't no going back after that.
That's right.
They're like, you better propose to our daughter like tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want to be in Maggie's family because Maggie does vacations right. You like a beach and a beach chair.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want any kind of adventure stuff right now.
Really, you want relaxation.
You don't want to hike. You don't want to paraglide. You don't want to swim with sharks.
No.
Maggie, you get it.
It's called vacation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just kind of roast in the sun and just get obliterated. I got you.
Not when you have kids.
My wife's family wants to hike a volcano. That's like their...
Oh my goodness.
That's like all they talk about.
Yeah, pass. Hard pass. And if I was on that vacation, I'd be like, have fun, everybody. I'll be here by the pool. I would just not go.
What? Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You guys enjoy. I'll catch up with you when you get back.
I'll be over here watching the bags.
Away from the lava.
Yeah. I don't feel like running for my life today. We're talking about at bat for your life. I don't want to do vacation for my life.
Steal a base for your life.
I'd fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, EJ's still rehabbing.
I'm going on vacation with you guys. My family's vacations are brutal.
Oh, we went to Mexico last month. Me and Andrea, we were at the beach.
Yeah, literally
you're welcome. For just
6-7 hours. I watched like basketball games on the beach.
Yeah, you're
no
welcome.
No kids. That's the denominator here.
Yep.
Being fair.
Yeah.
Definitely. That'll change.
Got to go to a place with just shallow water.
Man, forget them kids.
My wife.
It's a little late after they're born.
First vacation with my wife, she's like, let's go to Vietnam and we'll pay $6 a night at this place to stay. And I swear to God, I'm still haunted by the feral cats that attack me in the alley behind this supposed hotel. I am doing vacationing all wrong.
I know, Pearl. Just you guys gotta stop trying so hard to do things and see things.
Show trip to Ho Chi Minh.
The hours might be better. Let's get to CeeLo with headlines.
All right. Well, we had the All-Star game last night, of course, in Atlanta. First swing off won by the National League is Kyle Schwarber. Went 3-for-3 with his swings, 3 home runs to win MVP honors and get the win for the National League after they blew a lead. It was 6-6 after 9 as the American League mounted a bit of a comeback. So we discussed Bud Selig last hour. It came up, the game that ended in a tie when he was commissioner and sort of these dopey faces he makes on TV, so on and so forth. And we mentioned that Fox World Series MVP presentation from 2014 with Madison Bumgarner. You asked me to grab the audio from that. So this was Aaron Andrews handling the toss to the presentation to Madison Bumgarner. Again, 2014 World Series. He's the MVP. It's sponsored by Chevrolet. and they have a representative there to present Madison with the award, and you've got to confuse Bud Selig on stage and on camera as well. Now, the video plays better. It's priceless, but the audio is pretty good as well. Here is part number one.
Now, to present the MVP award presented by Chevrolet, we have from Chevrolet, the regional zone manager, Rick Wilde.
Thanks. Madison, congratulations. As the official sponsor or the official vehicle of Major League Baseball, Chevrolet is proud to participate in this prestigious award. Along with our dealers, we are also extremely honored to give back to this sport by supporting baseball in cities and towns across this nation.
All right, so you can hear he's a little nervous. Yeah.
He's
out of breath.
It together, though.
He's a large man.
Now I totally remember this. When you guys drive, now I completely remember
the
this.
The regional zone manager.
Yeah, the regional zone manager.
So he's about halfway through, and again, he's holding it together. It's like he's remembering parts of the things he wanted
to
say.
It's like Chris Farley was up there delivering
yes,
this.
Exactly. Nice. Exactly. That is exactly what it is. But as he gets further away with no notes, no note cards, really. That's where it started to go off the rails.
At Chevrolet, we have also been proud of the latest and greatest technology in our truck lineup, which is the all-new 2015 Chevy Colorado. It combines class-winning and leading technology and stuff with Wi-Fi powered by OnStar, sitting there on screen, to recognize your performance in this 2014 World Series. I proudly present to you your own set of keys to a brand new 2015 Chevy Colorado. Congratulations.
The technology and stuff is great. And he says, I proudly present to you, he's literally reaching into his suit pants pocket for the keys.
Not exactly the key to the city.
Oh my
it's
God.
Like, I got my keys here. Oh, where did I, front pocket, back pocket, where did I put those damn keys?
And at one point, Selig's like, he's using one arm to, he's like, in deep thought with like his hand on his chin, like looking around like, what? Who is this guy?
You know, as soon as he said regional zone manager, Selig was just like, somebody's getting fired.
I also love how there's a full-blown like World Series celebration happening. Yeah, this guy's struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo, yeah, we won.
Bumgarner's is like, could you just wrap this up so I get back to chugging beers?
He's like, oh, so this car goes 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds.
It has OnStar.
Technology and
stuff. Oh, man. So good. Rick, I'll never forget that name. Rick Wilde.
That always does happen in sports, right? Like the college football, like some guy with an insurance company hands out the trophy, basically, right?
But usually they're little more buttoned up.
Yeah, but it always makes me uncomfortable. I always feel super uncomfortable when it's like the vice president of Allstate is. Yeah. It's kind of weird, right? But that was the worst.
This guy felt like Chevy basically threw a bunch of names into a hat, like a raffle, and picked his out. I'm like, hey, you're going to get to present the award.
Oh, no.
I actually heard it recently. If you guys know the Dan Patrick Chevrolet story.
Uh-uh.
So he was handing out the Super Bowl trophy. He told this recently on a podcast to Eli Manning, who famously has a Toyota dealership, and Eli wouldn't take the Chevy keys. So he won the MVP in 7 or 11, and he basically, Dan's trying to hand him the keys, and Eli's like, I can't touch him.
Wow.
That's a company man right there.
Yeah, reject. And then he came back, and it was a big deal, but it was, can you imagine that? Here's your new Chevrolet, and Eli's like, I'm good.
It's like Michael Jordan putting the towel or the American flag over the Reebok sign, right?
Oh, my God. That's
in 92, because he's a Nike guy.
The corporate. But the zone, I mean, listen, if you could get the zone manager.
The regional zone manager.
Yeah.
I know we're short on time. Do you want Shaq getting after RG3 regarding Angel Reese? Or, I know we've done a lot of golf today already with Scotty Scheffler. Xander Schauffele had some, they asked him where he keeps his trophies. He's multiple major winner now, multiple tournaments. This is before the British Open, which begins tomorrow. And he had a peculiar answer as well.
All right, well, let's hear that.
All right, let's do that. So, yeah, that was basically just like, oh, yeah, you won a couple majors, trophies. So, like, what's that like at home? Where do you keep them? So on and so forth.
So you don't have any trophies?
No.
Where are they?
My parents' house, probably, in a bank vault. I think that's where some of the, one of the trophies was, you know, when they travel.
Including the gold medal?
I actually have no idea where that is, to be completely honest.
That's great to know.
Yeah.
Why don't you?
What am I going to do with it?
What am I? Olympic gold medal. Yeah. I've got no idea where it is. What am I going to do with it?
Use it as a coaster or anything. Yeah.
I just can't even imagine.
What's up with golfers right now?
And then
Scheffler, now Shoffley.
It gets a little weirder as he delved into kind of his reasoning and philosophy behind all this.
I don't really invite people over my house, so what am I just like go look at it myself? Like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? That's just that's how I feel about it, you know? It's like, I'm not going to, like, walk into a trophy room and be like, oh, like, look how great I am, you know what I mean?
He says that's the way he was raised, I guess, humble. His wife put up pictures of him winning the Olympic gold medal in his home gym. Hates it. Wants to take them down.
Ooh. Yeah.
Why do golfers? If anything, you know, put up, like, me in a Masters jacket, like, that would piss me off, you know what I mean?
What?
Something like that is more motivating than, like, all right, that's not great. Like, I don't want to look at that, you know what I mean?
What would you rather be up on the wall?
Photo of my dogs or nothing.
Agreed.
A clock, maybe. I'm always late, so maybe a clock would be good for me.
I mean, what are we doing here?
Listen, do you guys remember, we talk about Kirk Cousins a lot because he is on these Netflix shows about quarterback. In the first season that Kirk was ever on, he has like a secret door
everything
opened up into his like secret trophy room. He's like, sometimes I come in here and I just kind of look around.
Are you amenable to that?
Yeah, it makes an appearance at the end of the...
Oh, it does in this season too?
It's at his vacation home in Minnesota now.
Oh, man. Guys creepy. Have a weird relationship with their success.
Well, remember Justin Jefferson when he announced that he signed that contract with the Vikings? Remember he had that like shed of all his accomplishments in that video, the Twitter video he put up was like, it was like a shed or whatever. And he's sitting in the shed, but it's all these like awards he's won as a football player. But it was really nice. It was it was an old shed, but it looked kind of cool.
Like a man cave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I was just like, all right, he's got all the stuff in the shed.
Why do golfers hate winning?
Yeah. But by the way, these golfers have been winning trophies since they were 10 years old. Like, they can't fit them all in the living room.
Olympic gold?
This guy, and he was getting killed for a long time. Hey, really good golfer. Hasn't won a major. Bangs out two of them in a year, and he's just like, who cares about the trophy?
Not
Olympic
fulfilling.
Gold medal? Got no idea where it is.
But also, safety-wise, you do have to protect them. You can't put them in the living room. These athletes get robbed all the time.
And some, I guess. Yeah.
Do you want to know where it is, though?
Yeah. I've got no idea where my Olympic gold
medal is. That guy's won so much. I mean, these guys, I get it. Yeah, not because I've won that much, but I don't know.
That's why giving out rings is the best.
No, me, if I won a green jacket at the Masters, I would wear it to the park. I'd wear it everywhere.
McDonald's.
You'd see me. I'd be wearing it right now. You get it for a year, right? I would get full use out of that thing.
But apparently not, because it sounds like these guys are so willing to move on right after they win. Meanwhile, Wyndham Clark got so ticked off that he lost that he destroyed the locker room at Oakmont, and now he's banned for life.
Did you see the list of what he has to do to have that overturned?
No.
He can get out of it?
So it's, it's the decision is, you know, that it's going to stick unless the ban could be lifted if he pays for the damages, makes a meaningful contribution to a charity selected by Oakmont. All right, all good.
Yeah.
And undergoes counseling and or anger management therapy. Like, how is Oakmont telling, like, how are they determining factor of that?
Man, you're golf's Draymond Green.
What the heck is going on here?
That's crazy. Jeez. Oh, man. And if anyone's going into any anger management, don't have golf be part of the rehab. Because that game pisses more people off than anything.
Absolutely.
It's the most frustrating sport to play.
But most of them keep it a little cooler than Wyndham Clark. That's apparently not the first locker room he's trashed either.
No,
I get it.
Also very funny that we got offered Wyndham Clark at one point as an interview, and then all of a sudden it got very quickly taken off the table.
Yeah, I wonder what happened.
Yeah, well, we don't want him to come destroy the studio.
What? Oh, that you got up right as this was going down.
She's got what, Fred Jackson jersey back there. We can't get that destroyed anyway.
Yeah. Come on.
Dare you.
Now, if we brought the Carson Wentz poster back, he's well welcome to come back.
You got Xander Schauffele's gold medal somewhere in here?
You might as well.
Hanging around?
It's actually behind you.
Could be here. He doesn't know.
Jeez.
All right, CeeLo, thank you. Great job all morning. All right. Coming up, we have, big question for you about today's great debate topic. An at-bat for your life. Who do you want swinging? Do more of that next. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. We return the great debate today, which I haven't done in a while. We do it on Wednesdays. And today's question, who is the one at-bat for your life? Who do you want at the plate? And Manny is slaying right now because he picked Ichiro Suzuki.
That's just the wording of the poll is if you need one hit for your life. If you need one hit, it's a very specific thing. Of course you're going to go with a guy like Ichiro or Tony Gwynn.
That was the original topic. That was the original question.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Bases loaded, ninth inning, big game of the World Series. Who do you go with?
Me.
Ichiro still. Ichiro's not a bad answer there.
I was going to say, I mean, yeah. Same player. Where EJ
Yankee
and,
legend Ichiro Suzuki, by the way.
EJ and Perloff and myself all went in a different direction. Manny took Ichiro. I went with Reggie Jackson. Perloff went with Barry Bonds. Yeah. And EJ went with David Ortiz. CeeLo's in today. He went with Babe Ruth, who was also a good hitter, but known really as a home run hitter, you know, through history. So we all went with the home run hitters, and Manny went with Ichiro, and he's winning the poll by a landslide.
I was so sure. I'd already counted my winnings from this poll. I was positive Barry Bonds would win.
Meanwhile, Dominic is in San Francisco. Dom, you're siding with Perloff.
Absolutely. I mean, when you get walked with the bases loaded, that means you're going to get a hit if they don't walk yet.
Yeah.
These guys are pros. And I think Perloff walks away with this one.
Look at you.
And
Dom declaring you the winner for today. Sorry, Dom.
Yeah, I mean, Dom, local, obviously would like Barry Bonds. I mean, I am killing you guys, so that's satisfying at least.
Man,
well, Reggie's more of a boom or bust guy, so I think like that would make me nervous.
I'm actually kind of surprised that EJ's losing this poll.
I think this is anti-Boston bias.
But like,
good.
Okay, see, like, even though you're most staunch Yankee fan or what have you, you have to acknowledge that David Ortiz is one of the most feared hitters in the history of that rivalry.
David Ortiz haunted my nightmares for years.
As he should.
He's one of the greatest clutch hitters of all time. I mean, he walk-off home runs and walk-off singles that he's hit in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Literally the most important
12th
time
inning.
Of the year. One of the greatest World Series hitters. I don't like the fact that he's in last is ridiculous.
It is crazy. So you can go vote at Maggie and Pearl on X. Okay. Really exciting.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow we're back up. One of our fun summer programming notes, and Pearl, I know this one is especially close to you. You love this topic.
Yeah, because I will give it away. I'm a man of nicknames, obviously. Yeah. Grew up, no one called me Andrew. Everyone called me Pearl. Then I got McLovin at the Dan Patrick Show. Now I'm sort of in between Pearl-aw. I don't know what people call me, but we are doing the greatest sports nicknames of all time. Bracket style.
Let's do it. It's not March Madness, but it is the best way for us to determine who has the greatest sports nickname of all time. So 64 will enter and one will be crowned the champion. And why we love the bracket style is because it's up to you guys.
Yeah.
You guys get to vote. Every day we'll reveal a new region and then you can vote on it. So we can present our cases and who we think should move on, but ultimately it's up to the audience.
Do you have a nickname? What's your nickname growing up?
I mean, my name is Maggie.
Yeah.
So I think people believe that's a nickname.
Yeah.
It's kind of a
short EJ, same thing, right?
EJ's got a nickname.
Manny, do you have a nickname?
El Guapo?
Manny.
Short for Emmanuel?
Yesterday.
E-Rod, E-Man also.
I'll say this without any judgment. Maggie and I came up with a new nickname for her yesterday. If she was on Fox News, she'd be MAGA E.
What just happened?
I thought you told me we couldn't say that
no,
on
I
the
know,
air.
But it's just a nickname. It's a nickname if you were at Fox News.
I don't know. I got to step away, although we imagine Kaplan would be able to come up with quite a presidential campaign for me.
And a hat.
Yeah, and a hat for sure.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Greatest nicknames ever. That's what we're going for, and that's what we're going to be doing for the next couple days.
Do youngsters not get nicknames anymore, Manny? How come you didn't have a nickname growing up?
It is. It's Manny.
It's Manny.
That's not a nickname. That's a... No.
Yes, it's
Maggie
a short
is
name.
Not a nickname.
No, it's not. I was joking. That's not a nickname. It's a shortened version of Emmanuel.
E-Man.
E-Man? People call you that?
Yeah,
I was like five.
Wait, I bet our intern had a nickname because you're really tall.
Zach.
Did you have a nickname?
Multiple.
What was the best one?
Go ahead.
Your mic is on.
The couple nicknames I've gotten are like, you know, my last name is very, it's like pretty long and pretty Greek. So they're like just Pav, you know,
okay.
Pavy, Big Z.
I see he's
a
Big
just
Z.
Just like a few things that reference either my height or my last name being very long and very Greek.
How tall are you?
Like 6'5", 6'6".
Big Z.
Big Z and E-Man.
I didn't know we had Jonas Algauskas as an intern this year.
Yeah.
You know what? That one did not make the field of 64.
It did not.
No. So Jonas Algauskas somewhere sheds a single tear. But tomorrow we reveal the Maggie and Perloff Best Nickname in Sports Bracket, and we will crown a champion. Thank you to EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, CeeLo Kaplan.
You couldn't even see B.